And I want to share over the next couple of weeks, and Pastor Basil as well, however he wants to share whatever's on his heart. But I want to tie this all up and complete this last portion here of building our lives better together, building our lives. If you haven't been here, I'm going to bring you up to speed of what we have talked about just for a quick review. We do four things around here as a church family. We want to always give people an invitation to believe. Believe in Jesus. That's the starting point, is that people are going to be coming in here, and we always want them to have an invitation to receive the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's critical. That's important. That's the lifeblood of what we do, is giving people, because that's what we're here to exist for, not only for believers in the room, but to win the lost for Jesus so they can come into the gospel for such a time as this, into the kingdom for such a time as this. The second thing we do is belong. After people get born again or receive Jesus, we welcome everyone. We want to encourage them to belong to a family. You know, I was blessed to grow up in a great, wonderful family. There's four of us kids. Not everyone has that. And I understand that, and we understand that. Not everyone has a great family life at home. There's a struggle, and depending on when your starting point, your entry point into the kingdom of God is, when you become a believer, it's tricky, and then different situations can happen, but you can draw strength from community, and that's why it's important for people to be able to feel like, hey, I can feel loved, I can be loved, I can receive love right here in the context of belonging to a church family, where my faith can be encouraged, I can be encouraged, and that just like we sing that song, anything is possible. When you come into the room, anything is possible, and that's what we believe God for as we're coming together as one church family. The next thing that we do is, as you belong, is that we have the opportunity to establish healthy, godly relationships. That's important. We're not ever, ever, ever meant to do life alone. Too many people try to do that, and several years ago, experiencing COVID, that's what everyone was isolated and have to try to, you know, get around some of those things. But it left some people wounded because they were alone. And they were dealing with different things, and, you know, there's different ways to overcome that. There's, you know, different types of online small groups and Zoom calls and phone calls and texts, but it doesn't take the place. It doesn't replace those personal connections. We're all built to have relationships, even the introverts in the room. You can just have one person. You can have two people. You don't have to have a bunch. You don't have to be in a group setting. But some people are the exact opposite and get totally energized by a whole room full of people. Whatever, we're all called to belong to a family and build healthy relationships. There's going to be people come in here that don't necessarily look like us, act like us, talk like us. We're going to love them. We're not going to let them change the culture of us as a church family, but we're going to still love them and accept them and believe in them and encourage them and allow them to take their next step. Amen? So the third thing is become. That's part of what we're talking about here, is we encourage people to lead them to their next step, which is becoming a mature follower of Jesus. And this is called process. And sometimes process can be a little challenging. It can be a little difficult. But this is called discipleship. Discipleship is real. And that this way here, we can ask questions and we can get around people. And there's that mentorship and people who have been through things in their life and who've been walking with the Lord for years and might have been through some challenges in their life. But they've learned how to overcome. They've learned how to do different things. They've learned how to wait on the Lord. See, that's kind of like almost like a lost art, a lost form of our relationship with the Lord, waiting on him. Because we want things right now, right now, right now, right now. Let me order my food on my app and let me go pick it up right now. I'm going to pull up in my pull-ahead car spot here. I'm going to give you help. My spot number is spot number 3. Bring my food out to me. It's not like that. Sometimes you have to wait on the Lord, because what's happening in that waiting process is that he's purifying us. We're waiting on him, and we're weaning out what's us and what's him. So we need to get around people so they can help us in this process called discipleship. We don't believe in behavior modification. We believe in life transformation. We don't believe in behavior modification because if you modify your behavior, you can always change it. We believe in life transformation, which only comes from the person and the power in the presence of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit working in us, a third person of the Trinity. God works through people, and the right people in your life will always point you back to Jesus. points you back to Jesus. So that's why, you know, small groups are definitely a big part of that. And we're getting ready to next week launch some small groups here. We believe in small groups. We believe in relationships. We believe in that connectivity. We believe in rows and circles. And circles are just smaller spaces that we can gather around maybe a common interest, always around the Word of God, always going to be prayer and encouragement and things like that, to where we can build each other up in our most holy faith. You can have a good marriage. You can, you know, work on your marriage, work on your relationships, find out more about God, find out, you know, for things for men and women, all the different things that are out there. It's all about growing in our relationship with the Lord together in small groups. So we want to build relationships. We want to encourage each other to become more like Jesus, to become more like Christ. Coming to church is important, but small groups are important as well. So next week we're going to be launching those. We'll talk more about that. This week I want to talk to you about building, using your life to build God's kingdom. Using your life to build God's kingdom. You know, Home Depot has a slogan that I want to borrow today. And it's simply this: let's build something together. Let's build something together. Can we do that? Can we build something together? Can we build upon? Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. And that's not a blanket statement to go out there and all of these things. All the things that we find in the Word that we can believe God for, the promises of God, they're yes and amen to us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. As followers of Christ, we're not to worry about or be distracted by the cares of this life, the concerns or the worries of this life, and we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. Instead, we're to seek God first and make what's important to God important to you and to me. As we're seeking God, he will meet our needs. Why? Because we have to put things in proper perspective. He's a good, loving father. He's a good, loving father. He's your father. And he wants to have that relationship with you. And maybe some in the room, maybe you haven't had a good relationship with your dad. Maybe you haven't had a father figure in your life. So you don't really understand he wants to be a good, good father. I understand that. But listen, allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. Allow God to be that loving father. Understand his nature and his character, that he's for you. He's not against you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you. The Bible says, Jesus said this, I will never leave you or forsake you. God, our Heavenly Father, loves us so much, and he's for us. He's not against us. He has great plans for us. Amen? So as we're seeking God, he'll meet our needs. God wants us to use our life for his kingdom purpose. In every area, in every season, to bring glory and honor to his great name. To bring glory and honor to his great name. We offer our life to God. God works in us. God works through us. And at times, God works in spite of us. To build his kingdom. To bring others closer to Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the first point I want to share today is, let's prioritize the kingdom of God. Let's prioritize the kingdom of God together. Begin your daily, your day with simply with just connecting with God, with prayer and reading the Bible. Start a good devotional if you haven't yet. Read the New Testament, whatever you want to do. Pray about, Lord, just help me. But, you know, sometimes for a season, some people have just done this. Oh, God, speak to me today. And you look and you'll find that scripture. And at times it works. I'm like, God, you've never done that for me. You've never done that for me. But some people be like, oh, yeah, I just cracked it. And all of a sudden, boom, I pointed my finger and there was this verse that encouraged me. If that's you, good for you. Good for you. But God has never worked in my life like that. And I might be slightly jealous. Just kidding. Maybe. But either way, I want to encourage you. Prioritize the Word of God. Pray with God. Prayer is just simply connecting with God. Talking with God. Amen? Aligning our actions with God's principles, ensuring that our decisions and our activities reflect building his kingdom. God's not against us having fun and taking trips and taking vacations and doing different things. But let's always make sure we have the kingdom of God at our heart, at our core, working and advancing his kingdom. We must be working and establishing God's kingdom at all times. We have to be so kingdom-minded and focused, especially in these last days. in these last days to be expanding the kingdom of God? Who in your life is closest to eternity? I'm not talking about building a church. That will happen organically. The Lord builds his church. But what people in your life are closest to the edge of eternity that might not know Jesus? It's our responsibility to share Jesus with them and to lead them. Hey, yeah, there's been some things in my life, but God's working through that. And like, they're watching you. Allow God to use you. What and how does God's kingdom expand? When someone gives their life to Jesus, that's how God's kingdom expands. When someone experiences freedom only found in Jesus, not a 12-step program, only found in Jesus, and those things work as well. But only true freedom is found in Jesus. When someone experiences freedom from a painful past and junk and stuff in their life and those traumatic experiences, when someone experiences a healing miracle, when someone gets filled with the Holy Spirit or touched with the power and the presence of God for the first time, all of those things are building God's kingdom. And we can all be encouragers and encourage people to their next step. Hey, receive Jesus. Hey, come to church with me, the power of an invite. The second point today is be active. Be a participant, not a spectator. I want to encourage you, continue to be a participant, not a spectator. You know, we can volunteer our time and our skills in our local church here, community outreach programs, and actively participating in initiatives that align with spreading the message of God's love and his grace. We love outreach, and we're looking forward to days ahead that we can do outreaches on a more effective scale and, you know, and serving our city and loving our city and doing different things. At times, we're able to feed people and do things right now, but we're looking forward to expanding that reach and literally being the hands and feet of Jesus to people who are struggling. And the best way to do it is to meet a physical, tangible need, because it's the doorway to the gospel. So let's be active together. Let's continue to be active. You can give of your time and your talent. The third part today is I want to encourage you, embrace your unique role. We all have a unique role. Identify your talents and your skills and your interests, then seek ways to use them in service to God. In service to God, whether through a trade or through music or through art or other abilities, find creative ways to contribute to the kingdom of God. Now is a time, I believe, in the body of Christ to where it's all hands on deck. All hands on deck. Jesus could come back at any moment. Do you understand that? There are things prophetically lined up that people waited thousands and thousands of years to see. The stage is set. We need to be about our Father's business and really have an eternity mindset. In the light of eternity, what's important? Because here's a very, and I was talking with someone early today, here's a very wonderful thought, but a very scary thought sometimes. Scary in a reverence type manner. We're all going to stand before the Lord someday. We're going to have to give an account for our life. He's not going to ask you, what kind of shopping deals did you get on Black Friday? Did you eat organically? Great job on your essential oils. Your hair was on point every Sunday. You're a good cook. All of these things are important to some of us, all of us. What did you do to build my kingdom? Think about that for a moment. Your story. What did you do? The pain that I have delivered you from. What did you do to build my kingdom? People are dying around us every day, not knowing the Lord. And I think that there's an awareness coming to the big C church. Time is short. It's the 2-minute warning. I don't have a dog in the fight this year for football. The Patriots are out. The Bucks are out. I'm messed up right now. Pray for me. But usually some of the most exciting activity in a game are the last 2 minutes. Church, it's the 2-minute warning. And we have to be about our Father's business. What's important? We have to keep the main thing, the main thing. Kingdom building is about Christ Jesus. We have to work wholeheartedly for the kingdom of God. In your workplace, in your daily task, maintaining a strong work ethic, that's opening the door for the gospel. I grew up where my dad always taught me that, hey, 15 minutes early was always on time. You're like, what? 15 minutes, that's when I leave the house. I gotta be there 1 minute before. No, my dad always taught me that 15 minutes early was always on time. Why? Because you're producing well habits. You're allowing for the margin in case there's an accident or a wreck or something or some goofy driver. But you're showing up early. It says, hey, I'm here and I'm ready to approach the day and I'm here for whatever you need. And you'll stand out above the rest. And yes, it might set you up for promotions and things like that, but it will also open the door. There's something different about you because other people try to fudge on their time and they're 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late or this, that, whatever. No, you're on time. You're being a good example. There's something different about your life, and it's Jesus. Treating colleagues and things like that better than maybe everybody else. Not getting caught in the workplace gossip. Maybe kind of walking away, maybe diffusing a situation, respecting others. Let your actions and attitudes reflect the values of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. It'll be on the screen for you if you don't have a Bible. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. And the seeds that we plant are the word of God. You are God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church here. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Our foundation is Christ Jesus. The seeds that we have in our heart, those are the seeds that we're to be planting in the lives of people. Christ Jesus. There are several important things here that I want to break down in our remaining time together. Kingdom building is all about people. It's all about people. It's not about a platform or to build a ministry or someone's ego. That's not kingdom building. Sometimes it can get disguised like that for some, and we have all seen some overbearances in that. Kingdom building is all about people, building people for the cause of Christ. It's not about a platform. It's about drawing people closer to Jesus. If someone's not pointing you closer to Jesus, run. If they're not pointing you closer to Jesus, then run. Kingdom building is about partnership and working together for the cause of Christ. God uses one person to sow, another person to water, and yet another person to reap, but we all get the same reward. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. So don't just take the opportunity that you have. When you feel that nudging on the inside, talk to that person at the grocery store, in car line, or whatever. Take the opportunity. It could be their last. It could be their last. Kingdom building is about Christ. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. He's the starting point. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Jesus praying, Father, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In kingdom building, we must remember that all things are by him, for him, and through him alone. And we get to do it together. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. And Jesus said to them, talking to the disciples before he departed to heaven. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they eat of anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You're empowered to go. You're empowered to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Would you say yes? Would you say yes when God knocks on your heart, when the Holy Spirit nudges you? Take the opportunity. Then the next point I want to share as we get ready to wrap up here, the Great Commission in my daily life. I want to encourage you to intentionally build relationships with others, sharing your faith naturally and inviting them to explore a relationship with Jesus. See, sometimes it takes seeds. God is good. I'm praying for you. I have a neighbor, and he's kind of rough. He moved from Boston, just packed up everything with his wife. He lives three doors down from us. But he's originally from like the London or UK area. So his wife left about 3 weeks ago to go to the UK and go to London. And I saw him out yesterday. We were talking. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be heading back too. And depending on the weather, because she doesn't have a visa or a green card and those things. And she has to work that out, be back home for a little bit and then come back. And he's a citizen. So he was talking. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go be with her for a little bit because if it's a lot of snow, he goes, I'm heading back. I was like, what's love got to do with it, right? But I noticed he had a black eye. You know, right, wrong, and different, I'm just describing him to you. He's all tatted up and he had, you know, taken out his piercing here and here and here. But I noticed he had a black eye. I didn't want to ask what happened, and I wanted to plant a seed. I said, hey, man, how long are you going for? He's like, we're going to play it by ear. And I was like, well, I'll watch over your house, and I'll make sure everything's good, and make sure I have your cell phone number. So I got his cell phone number. I said, I'm going to be praying for you. He's like, oh, yeah, great, thanks. So we talked some more. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go do this, this, and this. My Lyft driver is going to come pick me up in a few minutes. And I was like, well, you know, we talked about his security cameras in his house and all this other stuff. And I said, well, I'm going to keep an eye out and make sure that, you know, everything's safe. I have your number. And I said, man, I really want you to have a good trip with your wife. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you. He said, thanks. He didn't want any part of it, but at least I'm planting the seeds. That I care about you enough that I'm going to tell you that I'm praying for you and then do it. So I'm praying for him. The other day, my other neighbor, two doors down, I forget where we were coming home. It was one night, and it was a rainy night, and she was unloading her truck with her husband and stuff like that. And, man, she was, I mean, my first impression of her, my first interaction, she's sitting there, and she's dropping F-bombs, and she's cussing and swearing. And I'm like, guys, get in the house. Just go ahead, you know. So I walk over, and, like, you know, I forget what we were doing. I don't remember. But either way, I had, you know, a nice shirt on, whatever. So I walked over and I helped them start unloading their truck. I was like, hi, my name is Rob. And, you know, she's talking to me about how her sprinkler system, the head was turned this way. And you have to water the lawn because fresh sod, blah, blah, blah. But it sprayed her whole porch and entryway and water leaked in and got in her entryway in her house. So she was hot. And I mean H-O-T hot. She was mad. So I'm sitting here talking, hey, my name is Rob. How can I help you? I'm your neighbor. And she's just talking like a truck driver. A bad truck driver. A good truck driver. You know what I'm saying? So she's a nurse, and she's telling me she's a nurse. And if you ever need any IVs, I can do home IVs. And I was like, thanks. I'm good. I'm going to see my doctor. You know what I'm talking about? I don't need your IVs. Keep them. She meant well. And I'm talking with him, and, you know, I'm unloading the truck. Oh, you put this here and here. And she's like, oh, we got so much stuff. And, you know, she's telling me her story a little bit. And she's like, well, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Okay. So talking to her about that and sharing that with her, and you know, and then just kind of like, okay, I think I'm going to go inside now, you know. But just loving on her, you know. So the other day she came out, we were talking about trash day. And I just walked in, and she's like, hey. And she actually startled me. She scared me, which she came out, and, you know, it was just funny. So she's like, when's recycle day? I can't figure this stupid thing out. And, like, totally was just out there. And I'm like, this is awesome. How was your day? You know, thinking, how you doing? So we're talking about feeding people, and that day I dropped some food off for some people in the community and homeless. So she was talking about homeless because we have a couple of homeless people that, you know, ride their bike through the neighborhood. So she's like, oh, I don't mind them riding. I don't mind them hanging out. And I was like, well, you know, for some of us who have younger kids, I said, you know, it's important. There's, you know, proper ways to do things and boundaries and things like that. We want to help. And I said, Art, you know, and she was talking about different things. And I just said, well, one of the things that we love to do is our church, we'd love to go ahead and feed people at different times when we can. And she's like, she was in my driveway by my, I mean, she had her hand on my trash can. You know what I'm talking about? I was like, you might want to wash your hand, number one. But as soon as I said that, she started, okay, Pastor, have a great night. She was reminded, but because of some of the things that she was saying, she felt uncomfortable. And it's never my intention to make anyone feel uncomfortable. I'm just throwing seeds. We're farmers in life, and we're throwing seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not preaching, not telling her scriptures. Oh, here's what the Bible says about feeding the homeless. Here's what the Bible says about this. No, I'm just sharing the love of God. I'm not judging her for her dropping F-bombs in my driveway, touching my trash can, and all these other different things. No, just loving on her, being real with her, but allowing her to be real with me and not feeling condemned. Because it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, that leads people to the gospel of Jesus. And I don't want to be a stuffy Christian that judges people or has a look that's judging people so they can't receive him. Because we're going to have future conversations with my neighbor who's all tatted up from the UK that might stay 2 weeks in the snowy weather. He might not. Or my other neighbor here. Or my other neighbor right beside me. The other day, we smelled something funky coming from his garage. Then we saw him eating afterwards. You connect the dots. I love my neighbors. This is like the mission field that I've been believing God for. And I'm being funny, and I'm talking about my neighbors because I don't know yours. Do you? Do you? I want to encourage you. Please get to know them. Please get to know them. Please share Jesus with them. Because they may not have tomorrow. And we're going to stand before the Lord someday. And I want to hear, and I know I will. I want you to hear. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Thank you for being inconvenienced when I nudged on your heart. Because this person's in heaven. Everyone else gave up on them. They were too busy. But you weren't. Sorry, I'm a big baby. But these are real, real people. The Great Commission in our daily life, let's expand God's kingdom together. Let's go into all the world and preach to everyone. And I'm not saying you have to have a 3-point sermon, just share God's love. St. Francis of Assisi said this, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. It's our love, it's our character, it's our integrity. They're demonstrations of love, the love of God that lead people to Jesus. In other words, how we live, how we act, how we respond in such a way that people can see a difference in you. And they'll feel open to talking with you about things, and that's the doorway to share Jesus. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. As we go through our daily life, look for opportunities to be salt and light. Your story can be the greatest encouragement to somebody else right now, even though you're in the middle of a chapter. You can focus on the negative and all the stuff that you're missing that you don't like about your life, but God has done something in your life. He's brought you from something to something, and he's not done yet. You can encourage them in those things. So look for ways to encourage others. Pray with them if possible. The fact that you're praying shows that you care, that you're not, that you are approachable. Pray with people. It's important. Give them hope. Give them the light of the gospel. When you pray, use your God-given authority operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it sets people free from Satan's power. There are people that are trapped, and their gateways have been open and susceptible to so many different things. And there's demonic activity in their life, and some of them don't even realize it. But when you pray using the power and the authority that you have in the name of Jesus, that you know, you break strongholds, you break the chains. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Is it Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The gospel is the good news of Jesus. That he loves us so much. That Jesus came into this world. God sent Jesus into this world. As a man, Jesus was God in the flesh, but he put all his God privileges aside. He lived a sinless life. He was our perfect example to show us how to live life. While on this earth, Jesus did many, many mighty things, many miracles, touched lives, set people free from oppression and depression, healed people. He had creative miracles. He took a Lunchable that was only supposed to feed just a handful of people and fed multitudes of people. He raised people from the dead. We have a responsibility too. But God loves you. Here's the problem though. Religious people hated him. The Pharisees hated him. They said, how could he? They falsely accused him. They sentenced Jesus to death on a cross, which was the ultimate punishment at that time. I want you to understand this. Nobody took his life. Jesus offered it willingly. He knew what his mission was. He knew what the Father's will was. At any time, he could have called down multitudes of angels, said, enough is enough. But he didn't. Because you're worth it. Your family's worth it. Your coworkers are worth it. Jesus paid the price for our sins, shedding his blood, taking the stripes on his back. The Bible says this, that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So in the Old Testament, they used to have to take an animal, a certain animal, process it and butcher it a certain way and shed blood a certain way, certain times. Thank God we don't have to do that anymore. Jesus came and he became our sinless, spotless lamb and made the sacrifice, died on the cross once and for all of our sin, past, present, and future. That can be kind of hard on our heads sometimes. We don't understand. We can't, like, that's just a lot for me to process. Then just process this, that God loves you. He paid a price for our sin. Jesus paid a price for our sin on the cross. He died. They placed him in a tomb. But there's no dead place that could hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. 3 days later, he rose again with purpose and life and destiny, fulfilling his mission and his call by the power of God. so you can live. Because there's going to come a moment when we breathe our last on this earth.